Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I'm broadcasting here from my bright red desk, and I believe I have Mark on the line. Mark, you out there?
Yes, hello. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, I'm here.
You're here. We're here. Yes. It's a beautiful day in the morning. Yeah. Or a beautiful day in the night. It's 11 o'clock at night here. And I got the window open because it's 50 degrees in New York.
Right.
Yes. So what we do here on Access Astrology, that's Mark Wolves. He's calling in from his part of the city over in the west side. And what we do here is we talk about the weekly weather and what you can expect in the sky above and how it reflects here on Earth. And how to use the energy productively, and then we take calls from callers. And so it's a busy week. I'm writing 11 p.m. That's not good. And so we are really in the midst of big changes. So what have you noticed about this week, Mark?
New moon.
New moon.
New moon at 19 Scorpio today.
New moon at 19 Scorpio today. Yes, big new moon, big juicy new moon. And it is on the Sabian symbol of a woman pulls the drape back to reveal a dark chamber and invite us to go into the knowledge and to go into it. So a lot of people have been having intuition, wake-up calls, feeling like, oh, my God, I just had this amazing dream, kind of a, almost otherworldly, truth be told, messages, you're hearing things or dreaming about people they hadn't seen in a really long time and kind of going, wow. And, of course, the new moon in Scorpio is taking us into the deepness, taping us into the emotional space, and it also is triggering the eclipse from September 13th, and it will trigger the eclipse that we're going to have next spring, so what we're gonna, the eclipse we're going to have in March next year, which is at 18 of Pisces. So it's a lot of energy around waking us up and helping us see things. So what do you say to people to do on a new moon?
Well, new moons are good for starting things always, and they come with a lot of promise. So anything that you want to start or start over, a new moon is good. And things will begin to grow. It's just putting a fresh energy into stuff. And sun and moon are lined up together. So, you know, we don't see the moon, but we know it's there. And it's pulling, has a very strong pull because it's lined up on the same side as the sun. At the full moon, it's opposite. But in both cases, it's a strong pull. So there's a largeness to everything that we do on the new moon. And that's that sense of promise. So that whatever we want to start, there's a feeling, oh, this can really grow, this can be big. So when we do start things on that, that's the energy that we put into it. So it has a real good chance.
So the seeds are big and juicy and ready to grow, right?
Yeah, it's a great time, in fact, literally, to plant. So
yes.
Not the Scorpio new moon in the fall here, because we're going into winter. But, any new moon is good for some kind of planting. Actually, if you're planting indoors, then that's a good use for it. Or if you're putting bulbs in the
ground. Well, and sometimes, the bulbs, daffodils and those guys, they have to get planted in the fall for the spring.
Right.
So it is a good planting days for them. It's listed as, in the calendar, above ground crops today, best days, the 11th, the 19th, and the 20th, according to my little book here. But, yeah, obviously it's winter, but the bulbs need the cold. And this also is when the Christmas cactuses start to bloom. My sister-in-law put a picture of her Christmas cactus from her mom that she inherited from her mother, and it's starting to bloom. So she was like, reminded of mom today. And yes, Christmas is coming. Yeah, how'd that happen? But the new moon is very powerful. It's in the ninth house, so it's a lot about us looking at our belief systems And of course, last night we had the debates with a lot of conversation about immigration. Saturn in Sagittarius at the top of the chart, and we have all the stuff with Mizzou, with the president resigning down there due to racial problems, and the chancellor resigning. A dog poop swastika, I believe, was planted, painted. I don't know. I was like, a friend of mine wrote, "What's the story with Mizzou?" And I'm like, "What's going on there?" It's really hard to keep up. There's so much going on. But yeah, so we have that energy of that Scorpio moon and a lot of planets at 18. So we have a big finger of God in the sky. And whenever we have a big finger of God, we often meet our fate or meet a fated event. And so this week, watch for them. Watch for events that come to you that feel fated. And
yeah,
part
this,
of fortune.
This finger of God involves that sun and moon.
Yes.
So it's the sun moon with Jupiter in the sextile, and they're both in conjunct to Neptune. So it's quite a heavy finger of God.
Yeah. And you mean Uranus. And then
the ascendant
chart is 16 Aquarius. So that's you can do a secondary finger of God, so it makes it all focused finger, which is always kind of feels a little bit like it's a focused finger of God, like as opposed to the unfocused one. I don't know.
Right.
But the ascendant end is at 16 Aquarius, and it's talking to Uranus in the second in Aries. So that forms the sextile, and then the apex, of course, is the 18 degree Virgo over on the west. So it's an interesting time. When you have fingers of God, they do bring fated events. We do see things we never saw before. You know, they take out presidents of universities. And they also activate, for many of us, kind of things we hadn't seen quite the way we want to or seen. The other thing is there's also the healing planet Hygieia in the middle of this finger of God. So a lot of people are getting the fall cold. You know, so if you're a little snuffly, my cat was sneezing a lot yesterday, Mark. I was like, okay, what do I have to do? Do I have to take you to the vet? And he's like sneezing, and I'm like, okay, you all right? So today he's better, so that's good. But yeah, watch for the cold, that little snuffle thing that kind of comes out of nowhere. And you go, wow, that wasn't fun. So we also have the nodes changing signs.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
Leaving Libra, going into Virgo.
Yeah.
And it means that they're right now on the world axis. And zero of a cardinal sign. So that makes them heavier, makes everything to do with the nodes stronger and of more importance, which that being the North Node at Libra means anyone that you're in relationship with, whether they're coming or going, it's a big deal. More than the usual coming and going. These are like life-changing.
Yep. Big. Plus Mars is right there on that North Node.
That's right.
He's in Virgo, and he's about to go into Libra, and the node's about to go into Virgo. So they're going to pass and kind of have a crash, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mars on the world axis, we always notice there's some big, you know, I mean, it's horrible to say, but there's some big shooting of people someplace. Somebody goes postal or crazy, or now it seems to be college campuses more than more than post offices. But, I mean, we do actually are having riots down in Mizzou, so I guess that counts. And Mars on that North Node does, and I guess the whole football team was quitting. They weren't going to play. They were going to go on strike because of the because of the comments that were made. So, so Mars on that North Node is really a potent energy. So watch where you might find a little flare. You might be in the mood to just kind of shoot somebody some snarl and get some snarl back, you know, kind of because the energy is very strong for, you know what, I'm just not in the mood for this right now. And people really aren't, you know, so there's a lot of, you know, we watched it a little bit at the debates last night when they were kind of picking on each other. And I'm like, where's the debate in this? No debate, we're just picking on each other. But, you know, that's what seems to be what we're doing. So I guess we have to kind of watch and see what the collective, why does the collective want us to watch this kind of stuff? But the Mars in the North Node also is a zip of energy, meaning your chart's going to really feel the need to do something, to take action, to go forward, to get it out there, to go, go, go. And as it goes into Libra, and it's cardinal, you know, even though Libra is not a place Mars particularly likes, he's answering to Venus in her favorite sign. So the two of them are kind of traveling the road together a little bit right now. She's past him, but, you know, they're near enough to each other to hold hands. And he's now going to be in Libra wanting to take diplomatic action, wanting to take a part understanding of how to work together. And then he's approaching a sextile to Saturn saying, you know, how do we move this forward in partnership or relationship? Simultaneously, the node shifting into Virgo sets us up for a year and a half of Virgo North Node, which is dedicated service. Now, Mark and I do a workshop on Tuesdays where we read charts and we do the planets in the sky. And we had a really interesting conversation this Tuesday. People were talking about Virgo and the different definitions of Virgo. You know, and a lot of times Virgo gets a bad rap as, you know, it's doing the laundry, it's doing the cleaning, it's dusting, it's vacuuming, it's all that mundane stuff that nobody appreciates. Brushing your teeth. There's no reward for brushing your teeth, except when you don't. Then your teeth fall out, you know. When you don't clean your house, then your bathroom is dirty. When you don't do the dishes, and the cockroaches come. So Virgo's an important sign, but it gets picked on a lot. And we're going to all be Virgos now for a year and a half, because our Virgo house wants us to clean it up. Whatever house that is, the universe wants you focusing your attention on your apprenticeship, your service, your duty, your responsibility to serve, to create, to work with apprenticing energy, where to think where you're indentured, where you are part and parcel of the connected relatedness, where you're taking care of someone, where it's a compassionate placement. Land of small animals. I have like four people just got dogs. You know, it's Virgo. Or cats. Cats count too. Small domestic animals. But but as we have the nodes go through Virgo, kind of watch what you're called towards. Watch what you're asked to. There was an excellent book I read a long time ago called Chop Wood, Carry Water, where the mundane events, when we're chopping the vegetables, when we're stirring the rice, when we're cleaning the dishes. Those are opportunities to connect into spirit, South Node in Pisces, you know, in those little moments of habit stuff. And again, the Virgo-Pisces aspect, Virgo-Pisces axis, one of the, when I was first learning astrology, it's like, you know, when you get up in the morning and you do your routine and you get interrupted, and then you forget, did I brush my teeth or not? Because, you know, you have a routine and you just kind of do it in order. And you don't really think about it, you just kind of do it. That's the routine part of Virgo. But the Pisces part is the part that it becomes habit, it becomes routine, it becomes, you know, just kind of you're in the flow. You're not really thinking about it because you know how to do it, Virgo. So you're in the dreamy piece with the Neptune. So I thought it was a really interesting conversation. Did you have things you liked in that one? That you wanted to add? Because that was my takeaway was the...
Yeah, it was kind of Virgo in the whole sixth house theme as well that goes with Virgo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that it's a necessary part of all of our lives, and it always gets less credit than it deserves because it doesn't look for the credit. It just does what needs to be done, and it does it quietly, and just because it needs to be done. So, you know, that's why it doesn't get the credit.
Right.
But, you know, we all need to acknowledge it once in a while, if only for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And this is a really good time to pay attention to it because we're all going to have a year and a half of it. So being in it, it's like, okay, you know, what's the vision of that? How does that work?
Yeah.
You know,
with the North Node being there, it means that is where opportunities for growth come to us. So it's not real sexy area. You know, it's just getting the work done, doing the little stuff. But it means that for the next year and a half, that's where we should look for opportunities to grow, is in the little things, the little daily stuff. So it's mm-hmm. not the big headline things. It's more behind the scenes.
Right.
And it's good to know that that's the place to look, because otherwise we might not look.
Right.
So
right.
a lot
totally.
Of times chopping wood and carrying water is what will bring us the new insight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is
I have a little
a
thing I hung
that
on
that
my on my computer. Pardon? What?
That mm-hmm. is one of the ways that that functions. You know, when we're doing the simple routine tasks, a lot of times that's when an insight will come to us, rather than when we're trying to think grand thoughts. A lot of times when you try too hard, you know, it escapes you. But when you're just busy taking care of the dishes, then the mind brings something to you that you didn't expect. Yeah. What were you going to say?
Well, I have this little thing, you know, because I'm with the T-square, you know, I've been really focusing on what's the most important thing, you know, what do I have to do right now that's the most important thing I can be doing of all the things I'm supposed to be doing. So I ran into this thing, and I don't have a credit for who did it, but I cut it out and taped, you know, it wasn't, you know, it was like, I don't know, Facebook or something. But it was, I taped it to my computer, and I read it every morning. So I'm going to read it to you guys now. Start it. You don't have to be fancy. Keep moving. You don't have to go crazy. Visualize. You don't have to admit it. See the end result. It doesn't have to be material. Expect miracles. They don't have to be huge. Pretend you've arrived. You don't have to dance on tables. And above all else, have fun. This is why you started, right? And I thought, oh, I like that. I have to remember that. Because, you know, you get a little in the cray-cray, as Gretchen says. You're in the cray-cray, and you're like, oh, my God. And really what you want to do is just kind of go, oh. So, oh, to all of us. The other thing that happens this week is Neptune is stationing next week. So we get to the degree of Neptune station this weekend, which is all about the dream. Neptune's stationing to go direct. He's been going retrograde now for a while. And when he stops to go forward, which is actually next week's story, but we're feeling it as of this weekend. So watch for the Neptune feel. And a lot of people are feeling, you know, are reporting that they're feeling very exhausted or very tired or very wiped. Remember, Saturn and Neptune are dancing with each other. So Saturn is your doobie, 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 do it, done, get it, do. And Neptune's the, oh, can I go to bed now? Do I have to do this really? And so watch for that energy to kind of ebb and flow. And when you're on, go and do it. And when you're off, lay down and take a nap, because the two of them are really kind of dancing with each other this week and pushing us to shift. So Mars goes into Libra tomorrow, Thursday. There's also a big meteorite shower outside, or meteor shower. So it's also work, good fun to go out, because this is a good night to go wish on stars. So the Taurus meteorite showers are this week, and then next meet the Leonids meteorite shower. So there's a lot of shooting stars up there. So get out and wish on a star, because that's always fun. And as Mars goes into Libra and Vesta stations and goes, I don't know which direction, but she's stopping and she's going. So it's a great time to clear out your house, clean things out, get rid of stuff, and kind of push things in a new way. Anything else you want to add, Mark, about the week?
That tonight it's cloudy. We don't get to see the meteor showers.
No meteor showers, yeah.
Yeah, in New York, but wherever you're listening, you know.
Yeah. Go look outside. They're jumping around up there. There's stars in the sky jumping around, man. They're not just hanging out. They're moving fast, and they're shooting. Oh, wow, shooting stars. That's what shooting stars are, is meteorites. There's a big one in the summer in August. I can't remember the name of it right now, but that one always has great ones because I'm out on Fire Island, you know, and I'm out at night hanging out on the dock, you know, listening to music or doing whatever. And there's these shooting stars that are amazing. I want to say the Perseids, but I'm not sure that that's the right group.
Yeah.
Is it the Perseids, you think? Yeah, the Perseids meteors, yeah. Middle of August. So beautiful. So it's a little cold. Well, maybe not. It's like 50 degrees here. We're pretty warm. You can go look at meteorites tonight. Not New York, but other places. All right. So did you get the email? We got an email today. I have a question for Access Astrology. It's from Liz. Unfortunately, I can't listen in live to the show, but I'm curious about something I don't think I've heard you discuss before. I'm planning a tattoo, and I'm wondering what good aspects are for getting tattooed and having them turn out as hoped. I'm interested in general, but also selfishly I'm debating between doing it in the next 2 weeks or waiting for the artist I found to return to New York in February. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that if there's time on the show tonight. Mark, what do you think are tattoos? You there? Did I lose you? Uh-oh, I think I lost Mark. Let me go look. Nope, you're still there. Can you hear me? I don't know where he went. All right, he's showing us still there. You there? Hello?
Hello, hello.
Hi, you're back.
Can you
okay.
Hear me
tattoos.
Now? Okay.
You got disconnected or something?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. Yeah, it got disconnected or something.
Okay.
Anyway,
you went click, and then you were gone. It was
on the
topic of what are tattoos?
Then I realized if I touch the one, I'll go out, come back in. Anyway, we're here.
Well, I went looking for you. I'm like, you there? You there? And you're like, you were there. A little meteor went by. We had a shooting star take you out, you know?
Right. I was not quite sure if she meant it's the same tattoo artist that she would go to in the next 2 weeks, and otherwise she has to wait for that same artist in February, or is there a different one?
No, it sounds like from debating between doing it in the next 2 weeks, obviously her Christmas or Thanksgiving present to her, or waiting for the artist I found to return to New York in February.
Uh-huh.
So that's when Jupiter is retrograde. And Liz's birthday is July 17, 1989, 12:17 p.m. in Livingston, New Jersey. For those of you who want to look at her chart, we're going to do this without looking at her chart because I'm just going to say you found a guy or a girl, I'm not going to be a sexist about the artist, you found someone you like and they're away. Jupiter retrograde is in February, right? And so Jupiter in Virgo is the body, and Jupiter is transforming the body on some level. So seeing you, and it's a detail, you know, tattoos are, you know, they stick you with ink and you bleed.
Yeah.
And they put stuff in your body. So if you got an artist you like, I say wait, without even looking at the chart. But we can look at the chart. But I'm thinking Virgo, Scorpio, right? What do you think, Mark,
yeah,
for tattoos?
Yeah, definitely that. And, mm-hmm. you know, with the tattoo question, the first thing that I think is, are you going to keep this tattoo for quite a while?
Yeah.
And the answer usually is yes.
Mm-hmm. Not going to spend all that money on a tattoo and then get rid of it, right?
Right, exactly. So it's really important. And she has natally Mars and Venus conjunct in the sign of Leo. So especially with the Venus in Leo.
Yeah.
That's really important,
right.
Her appearance and how it comes out and the artistic result of this tattoo.
Right.
And again, she's going to keep it for a long time. So I would say choose on the basis of the person who's going to do it and the design that they do. And if you have the person that is really, you know, going to do the artwork that you want, that's to do. If that means this next 2 weeks, then do it. If it means waiting, then wait. So, you know, otherwise you're not, you know, because, like, why be unhappy with something for a long time?
Right.
You know, if it's a painting on your wall and you really get tired of it in a year, you can take it down. Or, you know, you can have it redone or something, you know, but it's really hard to redo tattoos. So,
right.
You know, So the choice between the two, and I would say either one works timing-wise. But Heather had thought that because she has that natal Venus-Mars conjunction, and because Venus and Mars are conjunct now in the sky, that was kind of good timing because there's a resonance there. And
right.
That's true.
That's why she's thinking of now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say, Liz, you got all that stellium down in the bottom there. Uranus, Saturn, Neptune, Moon, and Cap. You are
Capricorn,
fussy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a fussy girl.
Exactly.
You like the work to be good. You've got Juno in Virgo, which is Jupiter's on it. So who you want to partner with has to be an artist. And, I mean, I know some really fine tattoo artists, you know. And I had a friend. It was funny because she was in Boston. And she knew this one woman, and every time she would spot the woman's work on people's arms or body parts, and she goes, when I get a tattoo, I'm going to have that woman tattoo me. And I'm like, you can recognize her art? She goes, oh, yes, Anne, it's an art. And then, of course, I started paying attention to it, and it really is an art. I mean, some of them not so artistic. But when you run into one that's really good, like I've got, there's a gentleman who's he's a client, but he's an excellent astrologer, and he's an excellent tattoo artist, and he does stunning work. And, you know, you look at the caliber of work and you go, wow, you know. So, yeah, I would say wait. My take would be wait because Jupiter's coming back to the Juno, which is where you partner. And because your Mercury is in Cancer and your Sun's in Cancer, you have a very fine aesthetic. And you also have the Sun on the South Node. I'm sorry, Venus on the South Node. And so Venus on the South Node really is, you don't want it to look bad. And with your attention to detail, you're like my friend Martha, who recognizes the artist's work, you know, at 20 yards. She can spot this woman's work. So I would say wait.
And also with all that Capricorn, she doesn't mind waiting. Timing is important to a Capricorn.
Waiting is actually fun for her.
She's going to get it right.
What she's supposed to do is wait. Yeah. So tattoos, technically, are Virgo things, right? So here's, because it's marking the body. And if you watch the babies that have had a lot of tattoos, it really kind of kicked up with the Pluto and Libra group, which is permanently Pluto transforming the body into a work of art, Libra. And then, of course, the Scorpios, they're the ones with a lot of tattoos. Because they just like tattoos. And it's also a Scorpio energy. So here on this Scorpio new moon, we have answered the Scorpio Virgo question from one of our listeners.
Okay.
And the British lady says we're done, so we're off.
Okay.
Until next week.
Very good. Thank you all for listening.
Mm-hmm. And no tattoos with artists you don't like. And, and not on a Mercury retrograde either because they spell it wrong.
Tattoo
or they do it backwards. I had somebody put one on, and they did it backwards, and they were like, you know, I think it's backwards. And I'm like, well, yeah. And she gave me the day, and I'm like, well, you did it on a Mercury retrograde. It's supposed to be backwards.
Yeah.
Well, it's like you're looking at it from inside. So on that note.
Ambulance backwards.
It's like ambulance in your mirrors, your rearview mirror backwards. So on that great note, we will hang up, and we wish you all a great week, and feel free to stop by next Tuesday, Access Astrology, at the Open Center. Come in through the Open Center. We meet at 7. It's $5, and we have a potty. And we'll be off for Thanksgiving, but we'll be back here next week and doing another exciting show of Access Astrology. Anne Ortley signing off.
Good, Mark Wolves.
And hopefully Heather will be with us next week. So take care, folks. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.